Is Judaism primarily a faith of the spirit, or is it a faith of the body? Is it a faith of the afterlife, or is it a faith of this world? Now, many people who engage with religion or think about religion, and even some people in the Jewish tradition, think that the body and the world aren't really the main event. The body and the world are a distraction, and they take us away from where we'd really like to be, from Olam Haba. And if only we wouldn't have to deal with the body and the world, and if only we could be in some disembodied state, thinking about spiritual ideas all day long, thinking about spiritual ideas for eternity. And this is perhaps a perspective which we see by religions other than Judaism, and there are even some Judaism who do take this path. In Halachic Man, Rav Soloveitchik called this the path of homoreligiosus, of being world-denying, trying to transcend and be beyond the world. But in Teres Chabad, in Chabad teaching, this approach is generally rejected, this approach of negating the world and trying to be a disembodied mind. And instead, Teres Chabad falls out very strongly on the radical primacy of the world and the radical primacy of living an embodied life. We're not meant to run away from the body, but rather we're meant to develop the body. We're meant to have a spiritually refined and illuminated body. The Rebbe brings this out in the context of Parshas Chayesara as follows. In the beginning of Parshas Chayesara, we learn, Vatamas Sara Bekiryas Arba Hi Chavrin, Vayav Yavram Lispoid Lisara the Livkoisa. Torah tells us, and Sarah died in Kiryas Arba, in the city of the four, which is Hebron. And Avram comes to eulogize Sarah and to cry about her. So the Rebbe explains the pasuk as follows. Symbolically, what's the pasuk saying? The Zohar tells us that Sarah symbolizes the body, and Avram symbolizes the mind, or Avram symbolizes the soul. So Vatamas Sara means the body dies. When the body dies, how does the body die? So in Greek philosophy, particularly in the philosophy of Aristotle, building on his predecessors, the pre-Socratics, Aristotle taught that every physical thing is composed of four elements. There is earth, water, fire, and air. Four elements. And these four elements are the building blocks of all things. Now, contemporary chemistry is a little bit more complex than the Aristotelian model, but nonetheless, it is a model through which we can view reality. And generally, the teachings of Jewish philosophy and of Hasidus work with this four-element model. And as we learn in philosophy of science, this model is not an incorrect model. It is simply a more general model than more precise models. But that being said, Kiryas Arba means that the body is comprised of these four elements. And Hi Chevrein, Chevrein comes from the word of Chibor, of connection. So the body is comprised of these four elements when they are connected. And in death, the four elements begin to disperse, they begin to disintegrate as the body begins to decompose. So as the body dies, then by Yahweh Avram, the soul comes and the soul cries and eulogizes the body in the Rebbe's reading. Because we said, according to Isaiah, Avram symbolizes the soul. Now the question is, why is the soul crying on a classic religious conception? Just the opposite. The soul should be very happy that the body has died. After all, the body and the world are a prison which have held the soul back from soaring to the highest of spiritual heights. Why is the soul busy crying? So the Rebbe explains that this shows us that the body gives the soul a certain virtue. It gives the soul a certain ability to accomplish things that it would not be able to accomplish if it's not in an embodied state. And that's why the soul is so sad, the soul is so bitter about the fact that it lost its body, because it's lost its vehicle for expression. The Rebbe connects a symbolic reading of this pasuk about Sarah's death and Avram coming to cry about Sarah's death to a pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim. There we learn, Ki sirach ha-marsayna cha-rivitz tachas masoi v'chadalto mi'aziv loy oziv taziv imay. Literally, the pasuk means to say that when you see your enemy's donkey crouching under its burden, will you desist from helping him out? Certainly, you shall help him out. The Baal Shem Tov explained the pasuk as follows. Although it's the case that the pasuk is teaching us a concrete halacha, the pasuk also has a symbolic spiritual teaching. Chamor means donkey. But chamor, rearranging the letters, can also mean chomer. It can also mean matter. It can mean physicality. So, explains the Baal Shem Tov, Kisire chamor soynecha. Kisire chomer soynecha. When you see the matter, when you see the physicality of your enemy, meaning your body, in that the beginning of one's spiritual work, before one has achieved a place of, one has come to a place of integration, before one has achieved the state of integration, the body and the soul are enemies. They are in a state of opposition. So when you see your body, when you see it being crushed under the weight of its burden, under the weight of Torah and mitzvahs, which are ultimately a program, which are meant, as the Rambam tells us in the Maor Nebuchim, to refine the body. But nonetheless, you see that at the moment, your body perceives Torah and mitzvahs as a burden. So some might say that the correct way to respond to the body, to respond to your physical self, when it's getting crushed by these mitzvahs, or to respond to your child, is to not help out, is to just beat up on yourself, beat up on your body for not doing Torah and mitzvahs to the ultimate extreme. And to fast, and people actually do this nowadays, when they see that they've done it there, they start fasting, and they take on a lot of very, very stringent things to try to force themselves into line. They don't necessarily treat themselves with compassion. So Baal Shem Tov said, the pasuk is saying that you might have this approach of the chadal t'me'azev loy. When you see that you're not doing mitzvahs to the ultimate extreme, or you see that you're engaged in others, you might decide to beat up on yourself psychologically, or might beat up on yourself physically. But the pasuk says, no, azev t'azev imay. You have to be compassionate to yourself, you have to be compassionate to your body, and allow yourself to grow in your avodas Hashem, and to grow in your avodas Hashem with a healthy mind and body. So what do we see so far? First, we see that the Rebbe's Taich, in the second pasuk in the Parsha, of Vayavi Avram Lispoid Lassar of Lefkaisa, that Avram cries, that the Neshama cries over the death of the body, shows that the Neshama needs the body for some reason. And then we see from the teaching in the Baal Shem Tov that it's important to treat the body right. It's important to be compassionate to your inner animal. It's important to be compassionate to your inner physicality and not to try to destroy your inner physicality. So we see that spiritually speaking, religiously speaking, ironically, the body is a very important thing, and the Neshama cannot exist without the body. Why is the body so central? So the Rebbe explains that every mitzvah ultimately has some association with the body. By some mitzvahs, this is a little bit more evident. Let's say the mitzvah to put on tefillin, or the mitzvah to sit in a sukkah. All these mitzvahs pertain to the body. Most mitzvahs that you'll think of offhand will pertain to the body. However, says the Rebbe, there are also mitzvahs which seem to only be mitzvahs of the mind, mitzvahs of the intellect, or mitzvahs of the emotions. These include Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, or Emunas HaYichud, belief in divine unity, belief in Hashem being the only divine entity. But the Rebbe says that, ideally speaking, these mitzvahs also are meant to have a physiological effect. They have a physiological component. The Rebbe gives the example, tells a story of the Alter Rebbe saying the words Uvechein Tein Pachtecha in Shemayna Esrei, or in Chazaras HaShatz, on the Yom Leroyim. When the Alter Rebbe once said Uvechein Tein Pachtecha, he began to say Pach, Pach, Pach. He began to stutter as he was saying the word Pachtecha, your fear, your terror. And then he fell on the floor and began to roll on the floor in a terror because he was physiologically impacted by his thought of Hashem's awesomeness, of Hashem's pachad. And only after a little bit was he able to get the word pachdecha out of his mouth. In a similar oifen, similar fashion, the Rebbe tells the story of the Tzemach Tzedek, that the Tzemach Tzedek once drank a lot of very strong alcohol out of a brandy. And then he put his hand across his forehead. And after he puts his hand across his forehead, suddenly the effect of the alcohol seems to go away, and the Tzemach Tzedek seems completely sober. And the Rebbe explains, saying from the Tzemach Tzedek, why was the Tzemach Tzedek able to exert such self-control, such that he would seem sober even after having imbibed a significant amount of the strong alcohol? Because the Tzemach Tzedek said he thought about Hashem's awesomeness. And the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that Yayin Kosha Pachad Mefigai, that when a person drinks strong wine, when a person drinks strong alcohol, terror or fear is able to cause a person to regain their faculties. So that Tzemach Tzedek had this degree of self-control such that when he began to reflect on Hashem's greatness, the physiological effects of the alcohol went away. But what do we see from these stories? We see that mitzvahs like Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem are not, like people classically think, things that one can do in a disembodied state, but rather they have a physiological effect on the body, and therefore they're only properly performed in the body. And that's why the neshama cries when the body dies, because the body is critical for the neshama to carry out its purpose in the universe. The Ramban tells us in Shar HaGemul that in Yemais HaMashiach, in the world to come, we're going to be embodied souls. We're not going to be disembodied souls. And we're going to be that way for eternity. And that's also very clearly the Psak of the Gemara in Perek Chelek, in the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin, that Olam Haba, the world to come, is not a place of disembodied souls, but rather it is a place of embodiment. And that's because the Medrash Tanchuma tells us, Nis'ave HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyis Lo Dira B'tachtoin, that Hashem desired to have a dwelling place in the lower realms. So ultimately, the focus is the physical world. The focus is the body. Obviously, we're not meant to focus on the externality of the physical world, not meant to focus on the fleeting pleasures of the physical world. We're meant to focus on the physical world and the fusion between the ideal and the physicality, the fusion between theory and practice. But what's amazing about the physical world and what's amazing about the body is that we take ideals out of the realm of abstraction and play them out on the stage of reality. And when we play things out on the stage of reality, that is the culmination, that is the realization of Mashiach. Because Mashiach is the state of being in this world in a redeemed state, being in this world in an uplifted state. And to cast this in the terms of Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, that explains why the path of Chabad is the path not of the homo religiosus, not of the religious man, not of the person who is engaged in a flight from this world and who is seeking to be beyond the body, who's engaged in the path of annihilation and of otherworldliness, but rather the path of Teres Chabad is the path of the halachic man, the person who lives life according to halacha, because halacha is all about integrating the physical with the spiritual and uplifting and revealing the beauty that is inherent in the world and in the body.